مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فأما من طغى وآثر الحياة الدنيا فإن الجحيم هي المأوى، وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. عطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. When a tourist intends to visit any area, the first thing comes to his or her mind is to get the map of that area. He will take the map, study this map very carefully, locate and identify the places that he or she intends to visit to save himself some time. So when he is in that area, he would not waste his time asking and inquiring about these places. We are tourists in this life. We are not intended to stay here for a long time. This life is a transient. This life is temporary, and we are only guests, staying some time and leaving to the eternal one, to the permanent one. And therefore, just like any tourist, we need a map here to identify our way in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the architect and the designer of this map. He sent us a road map. Some people are willing to look into it. Others, they disregard it, they throw it away. They don't want to look into that map. Allah sent us a map. When you open it, you find two major highways in this map. These two major highways, each one has two main entrances. We have to locate them. We have to study them carefully. Allah says in the Quran, these two highways, one of them leads into paradise, the other one leads into the hellfire. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمِ His abode, his eternal abode will be the hellfire. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْإِذِ in this map. These two major highways, each one has two main entrances. We have to locate them. We have to study them carefully. Allah says in the Quran, these two highways, one of them leads into paradise, the other one leads into the hellfire. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمِ His abode, his eternal abode will be the hellfire. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى The second group, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى Their abode will definitely be the paradise. Allah clarified and expounded the road for us, which leads to both ways, both directions. There is nothing in this map ambiguous or murky or dark. Everything has been clarified meticulously by Allah. When you open the map, Allah says these two entrances to the hellfire are the following two things. Number one, طغى. طغى وآثر الحياة الدنيا. These are two major entrances to the highway that leads to the hellfire. طغى, persistently, willfully rebelled, transgressed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who was the first person on earth or in this universe? The very first person who rebelled against Allah. Who was he? What's his name? You all know. Who was he? The first one who rebelled, transgressed. Satan, Shaitan. That was the first one. He refused to submit to Allah. He rebelled against him. When Allah, he was praying to Allah. He was a good guy in the beginning. You know that? He was worshipping Allah. He was not rebellious from the first day. But when Allah put him to the serious test by asking him to show his respect to Adam, he refused. He said, because I'm much better than Adam. Who's Adam? I'm not going to bow to Adam. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. My race is white from Europe. And I don't want to submit to someone who comes from probably India or Africa. I'm not going to do that. Allah tells us the essence, the true faith, the true ibadah, the true servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when we are willing, willfully, freely to submit to Allah. Every cell in your body yearns to Him, submits to Him, and worships Him. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Not only your actions, your feelings, your aspirations, your sentiments, even your sentiments. If you love something or someone, you have to love it for the sake of Allah. Even if you hate something or someone, you hate it for the sake of Allah. Every cell in your body submits to Allah. Religion has two dimensions, two sides. One is the exterior, which is very visible. Everyone can see the exterior. What is the exterior of faith? Prayers. Five-time prayers. The fasting. When you don't eat, you don't drink. The Hajj. Charity that you give. And other aspects of Islam. Jihad. These are the exterior. But the interior of Islam, the essence of Islam, is submission to Allah. The inner faith of Islam, which is invisible, invisible to the naked eyes, that is the true essence. And that is submission. You have to believe that you are nothing when it comes to Allah. You are nothing but subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Willfully, truly, utterly subservient. Once we declare our nothingness before Allah, that is the true faith. This is how you measure your faith. This is the scale that you put your faith on, this scale, and you measure it. And you see whether you really have faith, or maybe you have 50% of faith, or maybe someone does not have any percentage of faith. And in fact, this is the essence and this is the meaning of love. When you love someone in your life, the first thing you tell him or her, I'm willing to do everything for you. Ask me anything. Ask me anything. And he would ask you to call him at midnight. You will call him at midnight. He tells you at 2 a.m., you wake up at 2 a.m., you call him. If he tells you at 5 a.m., you call him at 5 a.m. If he tells you to call him every 30 minutes, you would call him. If he tells you that even when you go to the session of Ashura, send me a text message, you will do that. As some people do. If he tells you, wait for me in the street in the cold, you will do that for him because you love him. If he tells you, wait for me 2 hours in the rain in Edgewell Road, you will do that for him. You would never say no to him because you love that person. Sulaiman alayhi salam saw an ant in the desert carrying some dust from one place to another. Sulaiman said to her, he had the ability and the knowledge of communicating with insects and animals. He asked her, what do you do? She said, I am carrying dust from this side, taking it to the other side. He said, why do you do this? She said, because I am in love, in deep love and romance with someone who asked me to do so, and I'm just listening to him. Sulaiman said to her, but the dust here is too much. This is a big mountain of dust. Are you going to spend the rest of your life doing this for the one you love? You're going to die. You can't do that. She said to him, Ya Sulaiman, dying in the way, in the line of a duty that with someone that I love is much better and comforting for you. Yes, even if I die, because I'm dying for him. Sulaiman received the message that even in our death we have to die for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي. Not only your activities and your livings. Your death has to be for him. Your life, your death, your beginning, your end. That is the true essence of faith. We live for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We completely submit to him. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah says to the Prophet, by your Lord, they would not attain faith unless they accept every judgment, every verdict that you give to them, every order that you give to them. They accept it willingly, without argument. That is the true essence of faith. And the more you bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you submit to him, the more you go down for him and only for him, the higher you're going to get to him. This is why, follow me here. Follow me. This is why, what is the best posture, physical posture in the salat? What is the best? Huh? Sujood. Why sujood is the best physical posture? We have ruku', we have qiyam, we have qunut, we have recitation, Quran. Because sujood has one meaning. And this meaning exemplifies the meaning of the prayers. Sujood means I surrender to you completely. I put my forehead on the dust only for you. I surrender. I accept everything you tell me. And this is why the hadith says, لَوْ يَعْلَمْ الْمُصَلِّي. If the person who standing before Allah and praying knows how much mercy and grace, divine grace, overwhelms him during his prayers, لَمَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ السُّجُودِ أَبَدًا. That person would never raise his head from the sujood. He will keep doing the sujood, performing the sujood for the rest of his life. Once you know how much grace, reward you receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why, brothers and sisters, I know most of you do pray, alhamdulillah. I'm sure that the one who comes to Imam Hussein's session for 10 nights, 12 nights, certainly they do pray. But I ask you one more thing to do in your prayers. Since we are surrounded by temptations, and since we need real support, and the real support only comes from the source of power, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want you this time, when you stand for the prayers, spend more time in your sujood. Don't make it a quickie sujood. Don't make it fast. Even if you don't have time, do the recitation, ruku', normal ruku', but when you go to the sujood, Spend more time. If your sujood takes 30 seconds, next time make it 60 seconds. Especially for the last rak'ah. And I want you to the sujood, even if you don't say it, think about this. Tell him, I am doing this for you. Because you are the source of power. I have my hope are not resting, my hopes are not resting on my parents or my father, mother, on my money, on my college education, on my business. It is only resting on you, Ya Allah. Take care of your prayers. Take care of your prayers. This is the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And if there are people who are might be outside, not here with us, who can listen to me tonight, and if they don't pray, let them make a pledge with Imam Hussein that since I am here, your guest, enable me, help me, give me the support to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will see your life will change. I guarantee for you that once you really start doing the real prayers, your life will change. Going back to Tagha, rebels, that is the mother of all crimes, when someone rebels against Allah. And don't think rebellion here means murder, means only fornication, drinking alcohol. That's not the only type of rebellion. Sometimes rebellion, it looks so small, tiny. And you think this ma'asiyah is not a big deal. It's not very grave. Allah would never be very upset because everybody is doing that. I'm one of everybody here. Don't say that. Do not underestimate any sin, even if that sin is the smallest sin. Do not overlook the graveness of any sin. Why? Because when someone commits a sin, even though if that sin is so small, he is violating Allah's sanctity. He's defying Allah. This is a manifestation of a rebellion. Maybe not a major rebellion. Even if it is a small rebellion, this is a crime against Allah. Besides, one more thing. You know how greater sins develop, the noble kabira. They develop over time. A murderer would not become a murderer over one night. Sometimes he begins by killing some insects. After the insects, he kills some animals. After the killing some animals, you know, he starts killing human beings. Do not say that this sin is so small, Allah will forgive me for that sin. Maybe if you do not seek forgiveness, if you do not quit that sin one day will develop into a major sin. A story that took a place in one of the Muslim communities. Chatting on the internet. Many of us today, we do not even consider it a sin. Chatting with the opposite sex, I mean. And getting involved with very low class conversation on the internet. One of the girls was involved with a man. She didn't know anything about him. He was an imposter. He made himself a very nice religious guy. He would use religious verses and ahadith just to brainwash her. Until he managed to brainwash her. Because of this chatting, she ran away from her family in the middle of the night. She ran away from her parents. She goes to the airport. She flies, takes a flight in the morning, early morning, and she flies 5 hours going to another state. She goes with that guy. He impregnates her. She becomes pregnant. Without religious solemnization, without aqd, without religious aqd, without Islamic aqd. And then she has a baby, and then after that he throws her out of his apartment. Bye, go back to your family. She comes back in disgrace, in pain, carrying a baby with her. A baby who belongs to an unknown father. The father is missing. She comes back to her family and her community. Her parents were not ready to receive her. She stayed in the shelter until some people went to her parents and they begged them to accept their daughter, to forgive her. It looks like small, just chatting. But the shaitan is there. Do not underestimate that. Do not say it's only chatting. I'm not going to do anything. All the problems begin with a small look, glance, or chatting. This is how crime evolves in the communities. And talking about begging, Sajjad is begging me to ask you to come forward, inshallah, to the minbar. رحم الله من ذكر القائمة من آل محمد. When I say the name of the Imam Al-Qaim, you have to stand, all of you. Please, please stand, please. Please stand. Out of respect for the Imam, stand. Just move. Even upstairs, if you hear me upstairs, downstairs, upstairs, please move. Please move. Make room. Accommodate your brothers and sisters tonight. ما حد جو سامي شلون هذول فرق بيناتهم فرق احسن احسن صلوا على محمد وآل محمد I need one more salawat more powerful please more powerful اي ما شاء الله ما شاء الله الخرج. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. So that was the first entrance to this highway. Tagha rebels against me. Second, وآثر الحياة الدنيا. He favors. He given to the vanities of the lower life. This is the lower life. That one is the upper one. This is the lower. Given to the vanities, to the lusts, to the desires. Wa athar, he favors. He gives priority in his life to this one, the smaller one. And he forgets about the akhirah. Let me ask you this. If someone has a very expensive, priceless portrait, which worth, let's say, $1 million, £1 million. He goes to the market. He has no knowledge about the value of this portrait and he sells it in the market for $10. Would you say this is a wise person? Would you say he's wise? Yes? Selling something worth $1 million for $10. Is he wise? That's the least thing we say about him. That is, he's unwise. Some people call him stupid, insane, naive, ignorant. Allah, this is the parable of the person. Allah says in the Quran, this is the parable of the person who sells the akhirah, the much more expensive life, for this lower life, for this temporary life. بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى more enduring, everlasting. If they give you the best car today, the best house, you still feel that this is temporary, this is not forever. One day they will take the car away from you. One day they'll take that house away from you. But when you are in paradise, nobody is going to take the keys from you. It's for you forever. Sometimes if you have the most fancy car today, you drive it, after 3, 4, 5 years, you get bored. You want to change the car. In paradise, there is no boredom. There is always excitement. There is always enjoyment. There is always stimulation. Allah says, be careful. Don't sell something very expensive in return for something very cheap. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was walking in the cities, in the streets of Medina. He saw the Muslims gathering around a man, smiling and laughing at him. And the Prophet says, what's this? They said, Ya Rasulullah, this is a retarded man. And we are making fun of him. He's nice, he's sweet, you know. The Prophet said, إِنَّمَا هَذَا مُبْتَلَى هَذَا لَيْسَ بِمَجْنُونَ وَإِنَّمَا هَذَا مُبْتَلَى. This man is not retarded. This man is not insane. This is afflicted by disease. Leave him alone. إِنَّمَا الْمَجْنُونَ مَنْ بَاعَ آخِرَتَهُ بِدُنْيَاهُ. The real retarded, the real insane is the one who sells the expensive akhirah cheaply here in this dunya. The Prophet says, شَرُّ النَّاسِ. The worst loser in this life. That is the most extreme example. The worst loser in this life, مَنْ بَاعَ آخِرَتَهُ بِدُنْيَا. The person who sells the akhirah, the prosperity of the akhirah, the grand success of the akhirah, cheaply with some moment, sometimes not his entire life. A criminal who kills, it takes him 5 minutes to kill, but he will be condemned to hell for the rest of his life if he does not seek forgiveness. Criminals here, those who are non-believers in Allah, those who commit crime, don't think their life is easy. Don't think that they are always having fun and happiness and joy. They have some more bitter moments than you. But still they lose here and they lose there. They lose both. Allah says, be wise. Do not favor this life to that one. Don't do that. That is our final destination. This is not the final destination. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't do that. In the day of Ashura, we have these two examples. Two examples. One of them favored this life to that one, and that is Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd, Imam Hussein came to him, and he had a meeting just before the battle of Ashura, on the eve, like this night, tonight. On the eve of Ashura, Imam Hussein had a private meeting with Umar ibn Sa'd, the leader of Bani Umayyah's army, in a tent, private meeting. Imam Hussein said to him, Umar, you know me very well, you know my history, you know what I represent to Islam, you know how much my father adored me, my grandfather Rasulullah adored me, you know my father said about me and my brother, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah. You are committing a crime against the humanity today, Ya Umar. I'm advising you to take your army and go back. Go back to Kufa. Don't commit this crime. It's not only crime against me as a person called Hussein. You are committing a crime against Allah. You're a creator, against the humanity, against Islam, against all the Anbiya, all the prophets, all the religions. Umar said, but you know, if I don't arrest you or kill you, then they will destroy my house in Kufa. Imam said, I will rebuild the house for you. He said, they will confiscate my property. Imam said, I will give you property instead of that. He said to the Imam, they will harm my kids. Imam said, does that justify harming me and my own kids, the children of the Prophet? Imam could not convince him. Because he was traveling so fast on that highway which goes to Jahannam. No one can stop him. No one can reduce his speed. And he committed the crime. And he's condemned to hell. Hell in the dunya. He went back to his leader Ibn Ziyad saying to him, I fulfilled my mission. Give me my gift. He promised him to make him the governor of Tehran, Ray, the ancient name for Tehran today. Ibn Ziyad said, are you stupid? You think I will give you Tahran, right? How can I trust you? You killed the son of the Prophet. Imagine, Ibn Ziyad, he ordered him to kill Hussein. Once he fulfills the mission and he comes to get the reward, Ibn Ziyad would punish him. خسر الدنيا والآخرة. This is the greatest loss. The other example is Al-Hur. Al-Hur was again traveling on that highway, which was going to Jahannam. But he made a very clever, smart gesture. He made an exit at the last, very last exit. You know, in some countries there are highways, and these highways, they have exits. If you make a mistake and you miss the exit, you will miss your trip. You would lose 2, 3, 4 hours. One day, a friend tells me that he was inviting someone to his house in San Diego, the southern part of California. And after San Diego, you have the Mexican border, which goes into Mexico. He gave him the direction to San Diego, but that guy was driving fast. He missed the last exit. There is a big sign says, this is the last exit before you leave the United States of America. He was having too much fun. He could not see it. He was too much, you know, excited. He missed that exit. Suddenly he finds himself in Mexico. And then he shows the address. He looks around, different people, different land, different cars. These are not American cars. What happened? Where is Burger King? Where is McDonald's? Then he asks the police. He gives him San Diego's address. The police looks at it and tells him, Senor, this is Mexico. This is Mexico. This is Mexico. Go back. It cost him 3 days because he didn't have a passport. And you know, to enter America is more difficult than entering paradise nowadays, you know. 3 days in the wilderness because he missed the exit. Make sure here you do not miss the exit, brothers and sisters. Don't. Al-Hur was traveling fast, but he paid attention to this. Remember, the lecture is about roadmap, the roadmap of this life. He saw the exit and he swerved suddenly. He saved himself. He saved his faith. At the very last minute, this man, Hur, you know his story? He was the commander in Bani Umayyah's army. A big commander, leading one battalion. But at the last 30 minutes of his life, he came to Imam Hussein. He realized that if he does not exit now from this freeway, he will end up in hell, in the bottom of hell. He said, أَرَى نَفْسِي مُخَيَّرَةً بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. I'm standing on a crossroad. The right direction goes to paradise. The left goes to Jahannam. I'm not going to take the left turn. Definitely not the left turn. He went to Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein did not reprimand him, did not rebuke him, did not say, no, you are a criminal. You made me come to Karbala. You did not allow me to go to Kufa. Because he was the one who intercepted Imam Hussein. If you know the story, Imam Hussein was going from Medina to Kufa. He did not let him go to Kufa. He was the reason Imam Hussein arrived to Karbala. But Imam did not accuse him of that. He said to him, In tubt, taballahu alayk. If you are sincere, you want to go back to Allah, Allah will accept your repentance. And imagine within few minutes, he kills the enemies, his own army. Okay, he turns against them, he kills them. And then, after a few minutes, Imam Hussein stands on his head, and he says, أَبْشِرْ يَا حُرْ فَأَنْتَ حُرٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَسَعِيدٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. You are a truly free man. Your soul was not captivated by sin, was not enslaved by sin. You freed your soul in this life. You are a truly حُر, free man, and you are indeed prosperous in the Akhirah. Are you with me? So this is the two entrances to the hell. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى. طَغَى, rebelled, transgressed against Allah. وَآثَر, favored this life, this short-lived life. فإن الجحيم هي المأوى. وأما as to the one who entertains the fear of the standing before the tribunal of his Lord. وأما من خاف مقام ربه. You know, if we have only one thing in faith, only one thing, not more than that, you know, we will be prosperous in this life and in the hereafter. And that is the fear of Allah, piety, righteousness. Allah says in the Quran, O mankind, Ya أيها الناس, اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم. I want all the humanity. They worship God for only one end. One end and one reason and one goal. لعلكم تتقون. To have the fear of God in your heart. To have respect for God in your heart. We're going to stand on that day. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Standing before the tribunal. Not a local court here in Europe, in America, in Iraq. This is Allah's court. No one can cheat. No one can run away. خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. On that day when we stand before Allah, all our deeds are going to be exposed. Exposed completely. Our neighbors, our family members, our friends, our enemies are going to realize and understand what we did in this life. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةٌ. Nothing is going to be hidden or private or confidential or concealed on that day. You will be exposed to أَرَضُونَ. Stand before Allah. Huge screen. They can watch our deeds. Our entire life is going to be shown there. There will be a documentary for me, documentary for you, documentary for Osama, documentary for Fadl. Everyone has a documentary. People are going to watch it. Our deeds, some good, some bad. No privacy there. There you cannot take a lawyer and say, no, you cannot show these pictures. These are private. Allah is showing them. Allah is the judge. Allah is the final court. Final decision is to Him, not to anyone else. That is the day of big scandal, the Quran says. Big scandal. The day of the biggest fear. The day of the biggest remorse. يوم الحسرة وأنذرهم يوم الحسرة. Our deeds are going to be shown to us. اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. The day of biggest embarrassment. If someone has a fiance and he's, you know, they decided to get married, and then on the night, on the eve of their wedding, she will find him with another woman in a romantic place. On the night of the wedding, she comes, opens the door, and you are sitting there. Imagine your embarrassment. Imagine your embarrassment. You will be so embarrassed. You told her, I love you, I'm going to marry you, and tonight is the night of your wedding. You are supposed to be with her. And now you are with someone else. Allah says on that day, some people claim that they love me, but I'll show their pictures that you said you love me in this life, but I show the film, the movie of you being with others, that you were not allowed to be with them. At the time of Salat you were with them. During the month of Ramadan you were with them. And during other times. Here we can tell our parents, I'm going to school. They think that you spend the whole day in the school. But you can slip away and run away from the school and go somewhere else. You have an appointment with someone, to meet someone. Can you cheat on Allah on that day? So the fear of Allah, fear. Taqwa Allah, the fear of Allah. That is the key for success. Habil and Qabil, Abel and Cain. Cain said, I will kill you. Abel said to him, لَإِن بَسَطْتَ يَدَكَ إِلَيَّ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. If you stretch your hand to kill me, I would not do the same. Not because I am weaker than you. Not because I fear you. Because of one reason. Inni akhafu Allaha Rabbal Alameen. Because I have the fear of God in my heart. Does not allow me to harm my brother, to harm my sibling. فَقَتَلَهُ فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ فَقَتَلَهُ. But Cain, because he did not have the fear of Allah in his heart, he murdered his own sibling. The hadith says, the hadith of the Prophet, that sometimes Allah decides that one of you, young people here, Allah decides to grant you paradise now, before you accomplish your mission in life, because before your life comes to an end, Allah decides that this guy deserves paradise. Do you see some teachers? They go to the school, they find some smart students. He comes to him, this is 1 month, few weeks after the beginning of the school. He says to this teacher, to this student, you are passing this year. You will pass, don't worry. Even if you don't study, I'll pass you. Because I like you. Because you did something good. Allah says the same. Allah sometimes chooses some boys and girls and He tells them, I will take you to paradise no matter what happens because of a noble act you did. You know what the act is? وَرَجُلٌ عَرَضَتْ عَلَيْهِ إِمْرَأَةٌ أَلْفَاحِشَ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. A lady comes to him, invites him to an illegitimate relationship, affair. He says, everything in me says yes, but one thing says no, the fear of Allah. I have the fear of Allah. Everything is okay, everything is ready. I have the time, I have the place, I have the desire. But one thing unfortunately tells me no, and that is the fear of Allah. Allah grants him paradise, that person. His place is in paradise for the fear of Allah. Be careful. Do not come to me and tell me, Sayyid, I was a nice guy. She insisted on me. Believe me. She coerced me. Women nowadays, you know, they put a pressure on you. Sayyid. Don't say this. Maybe she's naive. Maybe she's inexperienced. Or maybe the opposite. He insisted on you. He's a naive guy. He has something evil in his head. Should you listen to him? A father told me the other day, he said, Sayyid, please, please, I want you to tell the youth. I want you to tell the youth to be careful with people's daughters and sisters. They are not toys for public use. They are not toys. Do not abuse them. Do not misuse them. When you meet a female and you want to do something bad, remember, today you are 18 years old. Tomorrow you become 24, 25, you get married. 2 years later you're going to get a daughter. This daughter, 15 years later, is going to face the same situation. Put your daughter in the same situation. Would you accept that to her? Would you accept it to her? To your sister, to your daughter? If you accept it to your daughter, then go ahead and do it. Just ask yourself this question. Even with mut'a, brothers and sisters, I mentioned this in the early days. Mut'a is halal, but it is not for you. Not for those who misuse it and abuse the mut'a. Do not appreciate the meaning of mut'a. Mut'a for other circumstances. People in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s, in their 90s, I don't know. Those who get divorced, those who have no other opportunity. But it's not for you. Do not destroy your life now. Don't make it a habit. Once you do it one time, twice, three times, you're going to do it every single day, even after your permanent marriage. Believe me. Becomes a habit. Don't do that. It's halal. But Allah does not say every halal you have to do it. No. It's not for the wrong people. Put your daughter in that situation. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, مَا زَنَا غَيُورٌ قَطْ. The man who fears for the sanctity, for the chastity of his family, of his sister, of his daughter, He would never commit fornication with people's daughters. He would respect them. Because this might happen to you. Inni akhafu Allah rabbal alameen. When Zulaykha was chasing Yusuf alayhi salam in the palace, they were alone, and the palace is so huge and the doors are shut and there are guards outside. There is no cameras, monitoring cameras there. She's the wife of the prime minister. She's the first lady of Egypt. She was running after him and Yusuf running. Yusuf is single. Yusuf is the most handsome man on earth at that time. She's running after him. She took off her dress and suddenly she stopped. Yusuf thought she gave up. He said, Alhamdulillah. He said, thank you, Zulaykha. Really, you are a wonderful lady. She said, why do you thank me? He said, because you changed your mind. You are not chasing me. She said, no, I want to cover this statue with my dress because this statue has been in my palace for many days or many years. And I am embarrassed before the statue. So I want to cover it with my dress. Yusuf said to her, Zulaykha, you cover the statue that does not see, does not hear, does not feel, does not understand, does not smell, has no desire. You are embarrassed before it. You do not want me to be embarrassed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خِفِ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. If we don't see him, he can see us. Allah can see us. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Remember this ayah. I want this ayah to resonate here in your mind all the time. Carry it with you. Put it in your car. Look at it in the morning, in the evening. Whenever shaitan whispers to you, read this ayah. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Don't you realize that Allah can see you in public, in private? So this is the first. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ and then وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Once you recognize Allah and recognize His significance in your life, His role into your life, at that time you can restrain, you can curb your desires, you can discipline yourself. وَنَهَى النَّفْسِ. You can exercise self-restraint. Brothers and sisters, I don't want your parents to tell you don't do this. You reached an age, alhamdulillah, you are educated. Here in the West, you have a better opportunity than those who live in other areas where they have no access to Islamic knowledge. Tonight, when you are here, I'm sure, that the vast majority of those people here came here with their own willingness. Nobody pushed you, nobody coerced you, nobody pressured you to come here. This is a very good and a promising sign that you're going to be a dedicated person, inshallah. You came here out of your own freedom, your own realization that Imam Hussein's session is good for me, good for my soul. I want you to continue the way. Don't stop it. Don't halt it. Don't expect your parents to tell you what is good and what is bad. Allah has implanted in you a system. That system can tell you what is good and what is bad. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Curb your own desire. Curb it. Your soul comes to you every night, every morning, every afternoon, every evening. Even when you sleep, tells you to do certain things. Try it. This is a free trial. Do it for 1 week and see. You have to have the courage to say no to yourself. Say no to yourself one time. But keep saying no. Don't say it the first 5 minutes and then give up. Keep saying no, 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 no. No to your soul. Say no. When it tells you to do bad things, say no to yourself. Because you, Allah, created willingness to you. You have that power to say no. You have the power to resist. See, there are two brothers. One of them smokes, the other does not. What's the difference between them? The one who smokes, have you seen them during the month of Ramadan? They wait for the sunset, for the Adhan, Adhan Maghrib, just to go on one after the other. Sometimes two, three, four, have a, you know. He doesn't have a willingness. He does not have power of will. He cannot stop himself, enslaving himself. The same thing say about alcohol. The same thing about the drugs. They think that if they don't drink, if they don't smoke, if they don't ingest the drugs, they're going to die. So their survival depends on these things. This is illusion. This is false. This is shaitan is whispering to you. One time saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And you would never die, wallahi. On the contrary, your health will become much better and stronger. Your life becomes much healthier. Say no. Say no to that. Say no to the bad relationships. Tell her tonight. Send an email. Tell her, because I respect you, I respect your parents, I respect your faith, I'm not going to do things illegal with you. Yes, if Allah enable us to marry permanently, we will be together. But having boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, that does not work in the eyes of Allah. Doesn't work. Because the shaitan is going to come to you both genders, and say to both of you, you are 20 years old, you still have no boyfriend, no girlfriend. Shame on you, shame on you. You go to school, you go to college, you drive a car, you have a cell phone, mobile phone, no girlfriend. Why then do you pay this bill to this cell phone? You have to have a partner. Be like others, be civilized. Be like others. Say to the shaitan, shut up. Yes. Say to him, I want you to disgrace him. Because if you tell him nicely, humbly, no, please, he will attack you again. But once you are forceful, resilient, once you say loud, shut up, he would think it twice to come back to you. Shut the door in his face. Coming to the end, this is the night of Ashura, brothers and sisters. I don't know when we're going to meet. Of course, tomorrow we have the Maqtil at 9:30 here. Try to come. I know some of you go to bed late. But it is worth it to come. Give condolences to Fatima al-Zahra in the morning. This is the day of tragedy. This is the day of sorrow. This is the day of sadness, not only for us, for all the Anbiya, all the Prophets. Prophet Muhammad tomorrow is going to have a morning session for his grandson Hussein. His parents Ali and Fatima are going to be in that session. His brother Hassan, the Anbiya are going to sit in that session. So try to come on time. Let's give our condolences and comfort Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. And of course tomorrow evening we're going to have another session. But I want you to take this message home. Try to strengthen your relationship with Ahlul Bayt. Even if it takes you, today I saw two guys are coming to London. They drove 5 hours. 5 hours to get to London. Last night I saw two brothers coming from France here just to be present in these sessions, the sessions of Ashura. You think that this will go unnoticed by Allah, by Prophet Muhammad, by Imam Hussein? I'm sure they will reward them. Every penny you spend, every minute you spend for Imam Hussein, every second you spend, you're going to be rewarded for it. Let me take you now to Karbala. Which part of Karbala? I don't know. During these nights, I really do not have the stamina, the power to recite the tragedy of Imam Hussein. Wallah, wallahi, I don't have the power. I don't have the power even to mention it. It is a big tragedy. It's not something easy to mention it, to tell it to the people, to recite it. It is a tragedy that shakes Allah's throne. يَحْتَزُّ لَهَا عَرْشُ اللَّهِ. What can I say? Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Some people say, why? Why Ashura is important? Some people think Ashura took a month, 2 months, 3 months. Brothers and sisters, Ashura took a place, the whole story of Ashura, in less than 4 hours. Less than 4 hours. Maybe the shortest battle in the history of humanity. But it has the longest effect, the deepest effect, the most profound effect on the humanity. Transformed Islam, transformed Allah's faith, Allah's religion on earth. It is not a battle between two princes. It is not a battle for a piece of land. It is a battle between two principles. One of them exemplified all the nobility. Exemplified in Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and all wickedness and evil personified in Yazid alayhi la'na and Bani Umayyah. It is the battle between truth represented in Imam Hussein and his camp versus falsehood represented in Yazid, in his father, in his grandfather, in Umar ibn Sa'd, in Ibn Ziyad, in all those who lined up with them against Imam Hussein. It is a battle between light and darkness. It is a battle of tolerance, forgiveness against terrorism, intolerance, and barbaric crimes represented by Yazid. This is why this battle is perpetual, is eternal. It has been immortalized. As I talk to you tonight, there are hundreds of thousands of sessions in each and every language and accent in this life being organized for this man. Not because he's just a man, because he represents the truth. He represents justice. He represents all the good qualities of the humanity. While Yazid, evil personified, Yazid, licentious, rogue, dissolute, godless, represented every evil. He was swarmed in every crime, every imaginable crime on earth. And Islam was suffering, Islam was a bleeding, brothers and sisters. Read the history of Islam. لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا اسْمُهُ. Only the name, the title. But the content, horrible, horrible content. Islam was a bleeding. Islam was dead. Muslims were experiencing lawlessness, anarchy, disaster. Allah said, one thing can save this religion, only one, the blood of Imam Hussein and his family. If Imam Hussein is willing, then we can save Islam. If not, Islam is dead. And Imam Hussein realized that his blood would revive and revamp and give birth to this new religion, Islam. Today, if I and you and millions of others are religious people, good people sitting here in the session of Imam Hussein, listening to Quran and the hadith of the Prophet, it is due to the blood of Imam Hussein. It is due to the sacrifice of Imam Hussein. Imam is the universal icon of sacrifice and nobility, universal icon of reforms and revival in the whole world. Not only Imam Hussein inspired the Muslims. Come and read how non-Muslims, Jews, Christians, Hindus, others, they were inspired by this man, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Western philosophers, they speak about Hussein with reverence and respect. They are inspired by him. You know, when Saddam Hussein fell, few days later was the occasion of Arba'een in Iraq. And all the headlines in America, I was following all the major newspapers, New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, you know, the CNN, Fox, and all major stations, TV stations, radio stations, they were following following the story of Arba'in. In the first page, in all the newspapers, they would put the picture of Imam Hussein's shrine and how people are walking from long distances. One of the editors of the LA Times called and said, a reporter told me, tell me, what is special about this man called Hussein? For many days we see people are walking 500 kilometers from Basra, going all the way on foot, going to Karbala. What is special about this man? What is the secret about this man? Why people love this man, this saint called Hussein? People were inspired by him. Imam Hussein is the cause of resurrection for Islam, for the hearts. Nobody can extinguish that light of Hussein. وَقَفَ عَلَىٰ خِيَامِهِ مُوَدِّعَ. Now let's go to his camp. See what's going on tonight. This night, Hussein is sitting in his tent. يُصْلِحُ سَيْفَهُ وَيُعَاتِبُ دَهْرَهُ. يُصْلِحُ سَيْفَهُ, preparing his sword, because dialogue does not work anymore. And he knows Allah needs his blood, his sacrifice. وَيُعَاتِبُ دَهْرَهُ. يَا دَهْرُ أُفٍ لَكَ مِنْ خَلِيلِ كَمْ لَكَ بِالْإِشْرَاقِ وَالْأَصِيلِ مِنْ طَالِبٍ بِحَقِّهِ قَتِيلِ. O time, time, you betrays people. You give the wrong signal to people. How many people you betrayed so far? O time, O Dahr, I am preparing myself for tomorrow, for my eternal life, the end of my physical life and the beginning of my eternal spiritual life. Suddenly Zainab was sitting in the next door tent. She hears her brother eulogizing himself. She rushes to him. Aba Abdullah, araka tan'a nafsak. You give eulogy to yourself? Is this good news? Talking about tomorrow, what will happen tomorrow? Hussein said to her, my beloved sister Zainab, sit down here, let me talk to you. Zainab, this is the path that we all have to follow. Look at what happened to my grandfather Rasulullah, to my father Ali, to my mother Fatima, to my brother Hassan. This is the path that we all have to follow. Ya Zainab, I brought you from all the way from Medina to here, because you're going to carry the torch after me, the responsibility after me, Zainab. And I have deep trust in you, deep faith in you. You would never let me down. Zainab, tomorrow morning, this battle will erupt. It will last for several hours. By afternoon, no man in this camp will survive except my son, Zainul Abidin al-Sajjad. I want you to take care of him. This is the succession to the Imamah. Zainab, you are great. You are the daughter of Ali, the daughter of Fatima. I want you to take care of the children, the babies, women, and inspire them, give them strength. Don't show any sign of weakness to those enemies. Don't. Remember your lineage. Remember your family. Remember your ancestry. You come from this powerful family that they did not yield to anyone. He explains everything to Zainab. And in the morning, Hussein alayhi salam, waqafa ala khiyamihi muwaddi'a. After all the companions fell down. Now, I want you to imagine the battlefield of Karbala. It is littered with bodies all over the land. At least 70 people from Imam Hussein's side. Al-Abbas is gone. His three brothers with him, before him. Aliyun al-Akbar, Al-Qasim. Even a little baby is going to go soon. Little baby, 6 months old, is going to go soon. He stood. He raised his voice. This is the moment of farewell is coming. close and soon. They were screaming, crying. He ordered them to hold their crying. And then when they were silent, he started calling their names. Ya Zainab, Ya Umm Kulthum, Ya Atika, Ya Safiya, Ya Rabab, عليكن مني السلام فهذا آخر الاجتماع وقد قرب منكن الافتجاع. This is the last minute I see you. Bidding farewell to them. He called them, all the women and the children gathered around him. They came to him. He was mounting his horse. They hold his hand. Some of them, they put their face on his leg. Those little kids who are not tall enough to reach Imam Hussein, they put their small cheeks on the four legs of the horse of Imam Hussein. As if they are saying to the horse, we want you to bring our master, our leader safe. Bring him back. Take care of him. Don't leave him in the battlefield. Ya Mu'mineen, I want you to imagine this. Imagine what happened in the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura. And then Imam Hussein started bidding farewell to them. Alaykunna minni salam. They all asked him, Hussein, if you leave us, who is going to be with us? Who is our guide? Who is our protector? Who is our supporter? Hussein, with full confidence, with deep trust in Allah, he said to them, Inna Allah hadikunna wa hafidhukunna wa nasirukun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be your guide, your protector. Don't worry, I'm leaving you with Allah. Allah is going to protect you and support you. Khoya wassubna qabl al-turhlun qabl al-ala al-ghabratina amun. Zainab alayhi salam coming to her brother. خويا وصوا بنا يا قبل الترحلون وقبل على الغبرة تنامون شفيلة حرم يا خويا تدرون حرمة حرمة وضعيفة لا تقطعون. إمام حسين عليه السلام then he went to his, he missed one of his daughters. She was not there. Azizatuhu Sukaina, the most beloved to his heart. Imam cherished her, loved her so much. He didn't find her. He said, Ukhtah Zainab, Aina Sukaina? Where is Sukaina? I miss her. She said to him, she's inside the tent. Imam Hussein dismounted his horse. He came inside the tent. He saw Sukaina sitting in the corner, putting her forehead on her knees and sobbing, crying loud. He came to her, my sweetie Sukaina, what's wrong? What's wrong, Sukaina? She said to him, Father, I know you are going, walking to death with your own feet. Father, I have one request. I know you are dying, but I want you, before you go, please fulfill this request and this wish for me. أريد أن تصنع بي ما يصنع باليتامى. I want you to treat me now like an orphan, because after your departure, no one is going to comfort me. No one is going to wipe my tears. I want you to rub your hand over my head. Treat me as an orphan. سيطول سيطول بعدي يا سكينة فعلمي. منك البكاء إذا الحمام دهاني إلى تحرقي قلبي بدمعك حسرة ما دام مني الروح في جثماني فإذا قتلت فأنت أولى بالذي تأتينه يا خيرة النسواني. Again Imam Hussein goes, asks for the little brother of Sukaina, Abdullah al-Radi'a, only 6 months old. He says, my dear sister Zainab, I want you to bring me hatta uwaddi'uhu wa uqabbiluh. She brought him there. He was almost fainting. She brought him the little boy, the little baby, 6 months old, Abdullah. Imam Hussein puts him on his, in his lap, and then he cuddles him, he hugs him, he kisses him. Then Imam Hussein decided to ask for a drink, a sip of a drink for this baby. He carries the baby on his arm. He goes to the army of Bani Umayyah. Ya Qawm, Ya Qawm. إن كان لي ذنب فما ذنب هذا الرضيع. If I am the criminal here, you consider me the outlaw. What is the crime of this little baby? أما ترونه? Don't you see him, how he's suffering? He's dying of thirst. فدع الأقوى يا لله ما الخطب الفظيع. نبئوني أأنا المذنب أم هذا الرضيع لاحظوه فعليه شبه الهادي الشفيع. Rather than giving him the water, Harmala ibn Kahil says, I sent three fatal arrows on the day of Ashura, but one of them made me cry. I sent one to Imam Hussein, one to Abbas, but the one who really made me cry when I sent it to Abdullah al-Radi'. He was flattering on his father's hand. أخرج يديه من القماط وجعل يرفرف كالطير البذبوح. Flattering like a small bird. Imam Hussein puts his hand underneath the neck of the baby. He throws that blood to the sky. Imam al-Baqir was reported to say, Wallahi ma nazalat qatratun wahidatun ila al-ard. Not a single drop returned to the ground. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then Imam Hussein again, he bids farewell. While he was going to the battlefield, while he was fighting, he hears a noise, a very fainting, feeble noise. The voice of Zainab coming. أخي نور عيني قف لي قليلا. Just wait for me for the last time. Just for the, I promise you, this is the last time I see you. Then he turns, he comes to her. She asks him to come inside the tent. He dismounts his horse. He comes inside the tent. She tells him, أخي حسين, would you allow me to kiss your chest here? He says, of course, sister, you are. Of course, you may. She comes, she kisses his chest. Then she turns to the direction of Medina. She says, Ummah Fatima. Ummah Fatima. لقد أرجعت الوديعة ورددت الأمانة. Oh, Mother Fatima, I promised you to fulfill this for you, this wish. Now I did it. Imam Hussein asked her, what is the wish? Tell me. She said, at the time of death of our Mother Fatima, she called me, she said, Ya Zainab, satarayna akhaki wahidan ghariba, idha ra'aytihi kadalik, faqabbilihi fi sadrih wa shummihi fi nahrih. One day you will see your brother lonely, alone, distressed. At that time I want you to kiss him for me on my behalf. I wanted to fulfill my mother's wish. After that, Imam Hussein left for the last time. He was fighting. He stood to get some rest. A man from the army of Bani Umayyah, he hurls a stone, a rock, which comes and hits the forehead of the Imam alayhi salam. The blood streams down on his face. Imam Hussein removes the dress. Ya mu'mineen, I cannot say this musibah, this tragedy. Wallahi, I can't. I have no power to say it. Imam Hussein, he removed his dress to clean the blood. وَإِذَا بِسَهْمٍ مُحَدَّدْ ذِي ثَلَاثِ شُعَبْ سَقَطَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ الْإِمَامِ. An arrow, three-pronged arrow came and hits the heart of the Imam. أين المنادي وحسينا وسيداه ومظلومه وإمامه. And then falls to the ground. The horse of Imam Hussein tried to carry him, take him to the camp. He's an amana. He wants to take him back to the camp. He could not. this animal, this horse came and stained his face with the blood of Imam Hussein. He started circling around the Imam, roaming around the Imam. Then he left to the camp, neighing loud. Al-Imam al-Baqir yaqul, kana yunadi, al-zalimat al-zalima. من أمة قتلت ابن بنت نبيها. When Zainab عليها السلام, she heard the neighing of the horse with the all the Alawiyat, the Sayyidat, they left the tent rushing to the body of Imam Hussein عليه السلام. They saw Shimr sitting on the chest of Imam Hussein, ya mu'minin. أفاطم أفاطم لو خلت الحسين مجدلا وقد مات عطشانا بشط فراتي إذا للطمت الخد فاطم عنده وأجريت دمع العين في الوجناتي كأني بالعقيلة زينب خويا خويا ذبتني على الغرب قوة بديرة غرب ما هي مروة. نسألك اللهم وندعوك. إن شاء الله the rest of the story will be recited tomorrow. The maqtal إن شاء الله of Imam Hussein in English here إن شاء الله, followed by لطمية and lamentation. This is the عزاء of شباب كربلاء. Please receive them. Please, if you can stand, receive.